title of my sermon this morning is When Christians Face Storms and Suffering. Yeah, that's the title. When Christians Face Storms and Suffering. Some people don't believe in that, don't believe that Christians do suffer or go through storms. I had a very good friend of mine for many years, a Christian, and every time I had a cold and I went near him, he would say, "What's wrong?" He looked me in the eye and says, "What's wrong?" "I've got a cold. I don't feel too good." Rebuke that in Jesus' name. We're Christians. We shouldn't have colds. You're accepting it. And he would rebuke me like that, you know. And he said, "But I got a sore throat. I got, you know, water dripping from my nose. My eyes are sore. I'm coughing. I got a cold." Are you confessing it? That's why you got a cold. You're confessing it. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. So some people still don't believe that Christians suffer, but we do. And it's not we're not exempt from suffering or from pain. So I want us to open up by reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. It's 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 to 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at this, at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So suffering is a part of life, isn't it? It's a part of life. I don't know, I'm sure you've noticed by now. And if you haven't, then just go and visit any hospital around the country and you'll see the suffering. Just watch the news and have a look sometimes at missionaries, what they go through, the suffering they go through. Sometimes they even get killed. So we do, as Christians, we do suffer as well. And I'm not just talking about physical suffering this morning. Also mental anguish. Because sometimes when we think of suffering, we only think of physical suffering. But mental anguish is suffering as well, not more. So this doesn't happen, as I said, to just non-Christians. Christians also have trials and storms in life. All of us go through difficult times. I don't think anyone here has never went through a storm or a trial or some sort of a suffering. I think all of us go through that from time to time. And as we have just read in 1 Peter chapter 4, some Christians thought that salvation meant no more trials. Once we become a Christian, that's the end of it. We won't suffer anymore. No more storms, no more suffering, no more pain. And as I said, there are people today who are preaching that once you become a Christian, life is going to be one big party. And so when storms come in their life, they walk away from their faith. I have people tell me when they go through a storm that they've lost their faith. They ask us to pray for them, for their faith, that they will get their faith back, because they have lost their faith completely. Because they say, "Where is God now? Where is God now that I need Him?" And so their faith becomes conditional upon God answering all their prayers, upon having this wonderful life where they never have to face a storm in their lives. So what happened? These people live by what they see and by how they feel. If they feel good, if everything is going good in their family, their faith is up here. The moment they face a storm, or trouble comes in their lives, their faith is down here. Should be up there. And so they live by feelings. But that's not what the Bible tells us, does it? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible tells us that we live by faith and not by sight. And unfortunately, there are many Christians today that still live by sight. They still live by what they see. And the saddest part in this is where people even leave the church. When storms come, they leave the church. They say, I need to go away for a while until things get better. And then when things get better, I'll come back. Now I know this is not an easy road as we are traveling to heaven. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more pains. We've been promised that. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sadness. And one day we will get there. And that will happen because it's a promise from God. And in the meantime, each day we're getting closer to that place. Today we are closer than we were yesterday of getting to heaven. Tomorrow, if we're still here, we'll be closer again, another day closer. And we are getting closer and closer to that day where there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering. So Christians do face trials and storms and suffering. And as we just said in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter tells us about suffering. Doesn't he? Many Christians are shocked or surprised when suffering comes into their lives. I have heard people say that the sun always shines upon the Christian, that the grass is always green. Have you ever heard that? The sun is always shines upon the Christians. But Peter here has reminded us that such teaching is not true. As we just read. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it tells us that the Father in heaven, he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That means good and bad happens to everyone, doesn't it? Whether you're a Christian or not, good and bad happens to everyone. Now, storms can be very scary. I don't know of anyone here being in a storm at sea. Anyone? I've been in a storm many, many, many years ago, when I was about 12. My father, he was, most of his life, he worked at sea. And he had this cutter, we call it cutter. After the war, or during the war, they used to have these boats that used to go to the ships when the warships come in and quickly unload it and take it to shore. This is back in Malta. And after the war, the Navy, they sold all those boats, and my dad had one of them. They're very strong at sea. They could take the water. And there was times when my dad, there'd be a ship coming in, and usually the tugboats take the pilot out. And if it was rough those days, the tugboat pilots, they were unionized, and they had a strong union. And if the water was pretty rough, they wouldn't go out. They just let the ship stay out until the sea comes down. And so the agent would want the ship to come in to start working. So they would ring my father and says, Harry, can you go and take the pilot out? The tugs won't go out. And my dad would say, okay. My dad never refused the job. As most of you know, we come in a family of 12. And my dad tried to earn any quid he could. And so my dad would say, yes, so we'll go pick up the pilot. Well, and because I was about 12 years old, my older brothers were all working. There was only one brother younger than me and three sisters. And so he used to wake me up for this day anyway, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he says, Lewis, can you get up and come with me? We've got to take the pilot out. I need you just to throw a rope or something in case we get into trouble. Because your brother has to get up for work in the morning. For you, it doesn't matter. Just take a day off school. And so, which used to happen quite often. So anyway, we went out with the boat, we picked up the pilot, and we started going out. And it was scary, I can tell you. It was rough. No wonder the tugboat wouldn't go out. And after about 40 minutes driving out with the scutter, the pilot said to my dad, he said, "Harry, I want you to turn back." He said, "This is too dangerous." My dad says, "No, it's not. We can see the ship. We've been going out for all this time. Now we're not going to go back." And he said, "I'm telling you, go back, because this is rough." And that's when it got scary for me. I was confident that my dad will take us out. But when the pilot got scared, I thought, if the pilot is scared, then it is scary. And I tell you, it was scary. Water was covering us nonstop. And my dad said, "I'm not going to go back in." He said, because if he got back in, he wouldn't get paid, of course. And you could see, he said, "I can't see the ship now." And the pilot said, "Where is the ship? I can't see it." He said, "Yeah," and could see a small light, just this little light. He said, "I can see the ship now." I said, "We're going out." And we went out, and we got to the ship. And I tell you, for me, it was terrifying. It was very, very scary. But storms are scary. If you get caught in one, very scary. And mind you, my dad didn't even know how to swim. And I don't think there was one life jacket on the boat. So storms can be very, very scary. And we're going to read an account here from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. And also Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. We read Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27 first. Okay, Matthew chapter 8. Verses 23 to 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Now let us read Luke in chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now let me point out some simple lessons from the story. And the first lesson is that storms will come. Storms will come to us. When? Sometimes we don't know. But storms will come to us. And there are many people who find it very hard to understand this, including myself in the past for many years. And as we read in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8, the disciples were shocked when the storm came. And they couldn't believe they were facing the storm. After all, wasn't Jesus with them in the boat? Jesus was with them. How could this happen? How could this happen when you have Jesus with you in the boat? And many people have the same feeling of shock when storms come into their lives, don't they? They start to question God. "Why, Lord? Why? Didn't I do all the right things? Isn't God supposed to protect me? Don't you love me? And if you love me, why are you letting me go through this storm?" How can you let this happen to me? Why not someone else, perhaps? There are many people out there who do evil things. Evil things. Why not to them? Why is it happening to me? And I'm sure that the disciples at that moment had those questions come through their head, don't you think? Many of us has asked God the same question. Why, Lord? I'm sure from time to time, maybe all of us have asked that question. Why, Lord? The disciples wanted to know, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care about us if we drown? Do you know what I'm going through? Lord, save me. I'm going to drown. And sometimes we can feel like that, like we're going to drown. Like everything is coming against us, one after the other. And I'm sure many of you can testify to that. I know we've had some rough times this year. Our family started with my mother-in-law giving 3 days to live, 3 weeks to live. Praise God, now she's doing well, and 90% of her cancer already shrunk. 10% to go. So praise God. You know, my health. I was off work 14 weeks. I'm going back to work this week. Praise God for that. We went through some very rough time, through some storms. And you feel like you're being hit from everywhere. The storm goes over you and another one comes sometimes, one after the other. But perhaps we shouldn't talk like that to Jesus, should we? But when we are in a storm, when we are afraid, when we cannot understand how or why this is happening, sometimes we do talk like that. We cannot understand why things are happening, why things are coming against us like that. But now I want you to know that if you have a storm in your life, maybe right now, or whenever you face a storm, I want you to know, and if you don't remember anything I'm saying today, just remember this. I want you to know, first of all, that does not mean that God does not love you anymore. You know, some people feel that God doesn't love them anymore now. That's why they're going through this turmoil, why they're going through these storms. God still loves you. If you don't know how much God loves you, just look at the cross. God still loves you. Second, it does not mean that God is upset or angry at you. Many people feel like that God is angry at them for something that they done, maybe something in the past. Whatever you've done in the past, God has forgiven you. And there's many scriptures to back that up. If you look at 1 John 1:9, it tells us about God's forgiveness. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, tells you that God will not only forgive you, but He'll remember your sins no more. If you look at the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, talks about God forgiving all your iniquities, everything, whatever you've done in the past. It's not only forgiving you, but He remembers that no more. So don't ever feel that God is upset or angry at you. And thirdly, that does not mean that He is paying back for something wrong that you have done. God is not playing games with you. Don't ever feel like that. As I say, God has forgiven you for the past, whatever you've done. And He does love you. So don't blame yourself every time you have a storm in your life. Maybe something I said. Maybe something I looked at. Maybe something I've done, and you let your mind wonder, why this is happening? Why is this happening? God, what have I done wrong? And I think sometimes you do ask questions like that. Yes, I accept that sometimes storms that happen in our lives are self-made. I've made some mistakes in my life that I had to go through a storm because of something I've done, some mistakes that I've done. But many times, it is just that storms happen. It just happens unexpectedly. Sometimes when everything is going good, everything is going smoothly. You know, our faith is up here, praising God. Yes, Lord, you're looking after my family. Everything is going well. And then all of a sudden, storms just happen. Something comes up against us unexpectedly. Don't forget, we live in a fallen world. And as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, as I said before, because it's his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. These things happen, whether we're Christians or not, to Christians and non-Christians. These things happen. The important thing is whether or not we are prepared for the storm that comes our way. When a storm comes our way, where is our faith going to be? Are we going to stand strong through the storms that we face this year? Our faith, if anything, my faith anyway, if anything, increased. Because I see the amazing God through that storm. I see how good and faithful our God is. You know? When I went to the doctor and he showed me the CT scan on my back, it was scary what he showed me. He said, first thing he said, you can stay out of work for a long time. You can stay out for the long haul. He said, I can see you ever driving those machines you drive at work. And it was scary when he said things like that. I went to the work cover doctor. As soon as he seen the CT scan, there's no problem. Straight away, he spoke about an operation. And the operation he spoke about was very scary. Scared me even more. He was talking about the bulge disc, and the bulge disc is on both sides, not one. He said, we can't operate on that. He said, if anything, we'll have to reconstruct the whole spine because of, you know, one of the discs is worn out 50%. You got one, the nerve is touching, and this was causing the pain. You got arthritis is starting to set in. But God is able, and God can heal us, as we just sang that song before. And I'm already seeing the amazing, amazing things that's happened to with my back now. I couldn't sit down for 5 minutes. Now I can sit down. Every time I got up off a chair, it was excruciating pain. Now, praise God, I can get off the chair very easily. So God is able. And you just trust in God. And my faith will increase, not decrease. But we need to be careful that we don't let our faith decrease when storms come. We need to make sure that we stay strong in God. Continue to trust in God, because He's an awesome God, an amazing God, I can tell you. We also learn in the story that Jesus is with us in the storm. And the one person you want in your boat is Jesus when you're going through a storm. You know, sometimes we turn to everyone else and we leave Jesus out of the boat. Yes, we can go to others, we can go to doctors, and we can ask friends for help. But the number one person you want in your boat is Jesus. Without Jesus, who will you turn to? Jesus could have stayed on the shore and let them take all the chances by themselves. But he did not do that, did he? Where they went, Jesus went. So we see here Jesus' response when he is awakened by his disciples. What happened after he was awakened? First he rebukes the storm. And then what did he do? He rebukes his disciples. And he asks them two questions. Why are you so afraid? He says to them. You got just Jesus in the boat. Why are you so afraid? And do you still have no faith? Or in Matthew's version, of you of little faith? You know, fear can take hold of us if we allow it. When the doctor said that to me, this bit of fear started coming, creeping in. Just a little bit of, what if you have to live like this for the rest of your life? What if you can't sit more than 5 minutes for the rest? Because that's the picture they gave me. What if you just, you know, you can't go back to work anymore and you just have to sit down or lay down the rest of your life? Does that fear start to creep in? Until, you know, we realize, hang on, that's the doctor's version. I want Jesus' version, that he is able and he can heal us. Last Sunday, Pastor Chris preached a brilliant sermon. If you wasn't here, make sure you get the CD. I was here and I still want to get the CD because I want to hear it again. No Fear, I think it was, the title of his sermon. No Fear. If you wasn't here, or even if you was, just get the CD again. Because and it was at the right moment too when I really needed to hear that last Sunday. But if you haven't heard it, just get the CD or just go online and get it. Because it was an awesome, and it's not just for me. I want to use it for others when others go through a storm. or when others are going through fear. I want to use that sermon to help others. It was brilliant. And the third lesson we learn from these verses of scripture is that Jesus will calm the storm. You know, sometimes we think the storm is going to last forever, but it doesn't. Jesus will calm the storm, whatever we go through. But at the perfect time, Jesus will use his power over the storm of life. God is never in a hurry, and that sometimes can frustrate us, doesn't it? God is never in a hurry. We want it now. We want healing right now. We want God to come to our rescue right now, not tomorrow. But Jesus is never in a hurry. And the reason he is never in a hurry is because he knows exactly what to do at exactly the right time. Amen? I have a friend of mine who was, his wife left him many, many years ago. And he wasn't a Christian. He became a Christian after that. Very shortly after that he became a Christian. And his desire was always that his wife would come back to him. But she didn't want to come back. And she was in another relationship. He could have had other relationship. He didn't want to. He was always hoping and praying that one day his wife would come back. He couldn't understand why she wouldn't come back. After many years, she left that relationship. And he kept praying and praying. And I kept talking to him and praying with him. And finally, he asked her again after 19 years. He said, you know, will you marry me again? And she said, yes. And they got married again. And Pastor John done their wedding. It was because they came here and to check the pastors out. And it happened to be the twice that he came, twice was Pastor John speaking. And he asked me, he said, can the pastor marry us? I said, which one is that? He said, the one that was preaching when we were there. So I asked Pastor John, and Pastor John was gladly to marry them after 19 years. But that was the right time. That was the perfect time. It was just how God works, at the perfect time, at the right time. Just at the right time, Jesus stood up and calmed the storm. So don't worry, God has you in mind. But it's always at the right time. He knows and understands you and your situation. He cares for you. You know, sometimes we think God doesn't care when we're going through a storm, but he does care for you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it tells us that his timing is perfect. It says, just at the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Just at the right time, the Bible says. Just at the right time. And in 1 Peter, we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He is watching out for us, isn't he? Peter wrote, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Do we believe that? Do we believe that the Lord's ears are attentive to our prayers? There are some people here today, perhaps, who are going through a storm right now. For some of you, maybe it's financial problems. For others, it is health issues. For others, maybe are struggling in their relationships. And if you are one of those people, I say to you that the Lord's ears are attentive to your prayers. But are you still praying? You know, sometimes we can give up praying after a while. We think nothing is going to happen, so we just give up. We don't pray anymore. We pray and pray, and then we just give up. But the Lord tells us here that his ears are attentive to our prayers. So if we're not praying, we need to be praying. We need to be praying even more during storms, when we're going through a storm. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, let's look at that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He cares for us. Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He cares for all of us, each one of you here. He cares for you. Doesn't matter what you're going through, he cares for you. And Christ desires deeply to carry our cares. And he has invited us, come to me, all you who are labor, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, even during a storm, we can still have rest. We can still have peace. You know, I can tell you that even during what I was going through with my health, I felt peace about it. Yes, there was that bit of fear that started to creep in slowly. But Pastor Chris Selman, as I said last Sunday, it was really at the appropriate time. And I had peace after that. I have peace now. I have rest. Because I know I can trust in our God. God has time for you. He cares for you. He cares for your family. He cares for your children, for your wife, for your husband. He cares for your finances. He cares for your job and for your health. He cares for you. So don't give up on your situation. Just keep on praying. Just don't give up. It's a favorite scripture of mine in Psalms chapter 50, verse 15. And I like to close with that verse. Let's read it together. Psalms chapter 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. He will deliver us. Our God is always there waiting for us. But we need to ask him. We need to pray. Whenever we're going through a storm, and we will go through storms, as I said, it's not if we go through a storm, but we will go through storms. When we go through a storm, we need to keep our faith high. We need to continue trusting in God. Say, Lord, I can go through the storm because you are with me. I'm not alone. You are with me, and I can go through the storm with you. Can you please help me? Most of all, my prayer is give me peace in this situation. Give me rest in this situation. And I can assure you, he will. Praise God. May we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I do thank you, Lord God. Lord, that you bring comfort, Lord, that you bring peace in our hearts, Lord God. That it doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter, Lord, what storm we go through. It doesn't matter how many storms we go through, Lord. Lord, you always come through, Father. Lord, you're always ready with open arms to receive us, to comfort us. Yes, Lord, sometimes we don't understand everything, Father. But, Lord, I just pray that our faith, Lord God, will increase and not decrease, Lord, during storms. Lord, they will continue to be with us, Father. Lord, they continue to be with us in the boat, Lord. The one person we want in our boat, Father, when we go into a storm, is you, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that we'll never cease praying, Lord God, but we'll pray even more, Lord, more fervently, Father. Lord, as we continue to seek your face. So I just pray for anyone here, Lord, that perhaps are going through a storm right now, Lord God, and I'm sure there are people who are going through a storm, Father. They will bring comfort, Lord, to their heart. You bring peace, Father, upon them. Lord, that you will be with them, Lord, that they will know how much you love them, Father. Lord, as had us spoke at communion, Lord God, the pain, the suffering you took upon yourself, Father. Lord, that we may have that peace, that we may have that relationship with you. So, Lord, we just want to bless you this morning, Lord, and thank you, Father, for all you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.